This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch our TV show on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. A new and disturbing report that highlights the growing power of corporations globally has found that an increasing number of the top economies in the world are corporate. The UK-based group Global Justice Now found that out of the top 100 economies, 69 are corporate entities. That's up from 63 a year ago. Walmart is the world's richest corporation, wealthier than Spain or Australia. The report also found that the world's top 10 richest corporations are wealthier than the poorest 180 countries globally combined. The fact that corporations are amassing so much wealth that their economic power now outweighs state power is a frightening prospect. What does it mean for human rights and liberties? My guest is Aisha Dodwell. She is a campaigner at Global Justice Now. Welcome to the program, Aisha.
Hi, thank you.
Hello. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, it was, I suppose, inevitable as corporations began amassing more and more wealth, taking advantage of, you know, offshore tax havens, that they would start to rival the wealth of entire nations. But I confess I was really shocked that out of the top 100 economic entities, now a majority, nearly 70, are corporate. What does this mean? How did Global Justice Now even categorize this list, create this list, and get these numbers together?
Hi. Yeah. So what we did quite a basic piece of research. Really, we just looked at the revenue of the biggest corporations and the revenues of countries. Taken from, you know, freely available resources, and we did a simple comparison, and like you, we were just kind of shocked on the one hand that to the extent to which corporations were taking up space, not just in the top 100, but, you know, it gets worse when you look at the top 200. They are really dominating when you look at the revenues of different economic entities. That's how we came up with it. It was a pretty straightforward comparison. But, you know, while we were shocked, at the same time, it was also to be expected. I think we're all quite familiar with the growing power of corporations. But sometimes when you put it down in figures so clearly like this, it really brings it home that, you know, we're heading towards a kind of dystopian reality where corporations are increasingly controlling all different elements of our lives. And, you know, at this rate of growth, it's not going to be much more than a generation or so before, you know, 100% of the top wealthiest economic entities are actually corporations. It's shocking, but we kind of sadly know about this reality of growing corporate power.
And so let's go through some of these companies. I mean, Walmart, I mentioned, the richest corporation in the world. On the sort of scale of governments and corporations, if you put them together in the list like your organization does, it ranks number 10, right after Canada. So it's just, you know, it's slightly less rich than the entire nation of Canada, the U.S., of course, being the wealthiest nation in the world after the U.S., China, and so on. And the first nine, you know, entities on this list are not surprising. U.S., China, Germany, Japan, etc. In at number 10, you've got Walmart. And then you've got a company that I have to confess I've never even heard of. At number 14 is State Grid. What is State Grid? Is this, and then there's China National Petroleum. So you've got, after Walmart, two, I understand these are two Chinese firms?
Yeah, so we didn't look into every single corporation and what they did, but what was interesting for us was obviously just to rank them. And I think that's what kind of strikes us, is that some of these corporations we've never even heard of. So these corporations that some of the wealthiest entities in the world, we don't even know, we've never even heard about them. They're not household names, you know, and I think that's one of the areas that's particularly shocking. Yeah, there's a number of Chinese corporations. But, you know, the other thing to be wary of is, as corporations, you know, merge and acquire and take each other over, we increasingly don't know them. So I'm sure you're aware that, you know, another big trend, a big thing that's happened in the world of kind of corporate takeover, for want of a better word, is just this week, Bayer has Monsanto has accepted the offer from Bayer. So we're going to go, you know, Monsanto, which is a household name, probably more so in the US even than it is in the UK, is going to become, you know, is going to disappear as a name, and we're going to have a very, I'm not sure where it would rank, but it would definitely be right up there now that it's going to be, you know, if this goes ahead, this buyout. We're going to have Bayer. So again, you're going to have another corporation that's not a household name. Who are these people? I mean, that's just one industry, which is the agribusiness company. You know, these are the people that run our food system, for example, and they're going to be people that we don't necessarily know. I mean, these corporations are, yeah, they're supermarkets, they're car companies, they're petroleum companies. They're, you know, these are the entities that are in charge of an element of.
And Bayer actually comes in at number 215 on your list, just slightly less rich than the country of Malaysia. Bayer, we actually covered the proposed merger between Bayer and Monsanto on our program very recently. And then you mentioned petroleum companies. I mean, petroleum companies figure quite significantly. ExxonMobil is wealthier than India. India is the second most populous country in the world, and Walmart, BP, Walmart, all of them, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, this is, you know, I mean, we're in campaigning organization, and we work on a number of different areas to do with all different parts of all different elements of global justice. So that includes, we do a lot of campaigning around trade, we do campaigning around energy and climate, we do campaigning around aid spending, agriculture, a number of different areas. But what we find is in every different campaign, the thing we come up against, the thing that blocks us achieving our campaign goals, is often corporate power. And yeah, I mean, of course, petroleum companies, the fossil fuel industry is particularly bad. I mean, they've done a lot of work at influencing any efforts to reduce emissions. And, you know, the implication of the power of fossil fuel companies is obviously felt extremely strongly when we look at climate change. And so, yeah, the prominence of those companies in this list is particularly worrying.
And Aisha, what about the fact that this is a trend that's actually going in the wrong direction? I mentioned last year, your organization found that 63 out of the top 100 economic entities were corporate. This year, it's already up to 69. That's a pretty sharp growth. I mean, in a few years, will the top 100 economic entities be entirely corporate? Is the entire wealth of even the richest country in the world, the United States, going to be dwarfed in comparison to, say, Walmart?
I mean, it's perfectly possible. I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, we are heading towards a kind of a reality where corporations are becoming more powerful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's increasing. They are, the corporation as an entity is increasingly positioning itself as the kind of the solution, if you like, to any of the world's problems. We're increasingly seeing the corporations put forward as the only way in which we can organize our society is to have corporations providing our food, is to have corporations providing our energy, is to have, you know, corporations even providing our education. And so we are, you know, in terms of the corporate mentality, it's, you know, we're increasingly seeing them being positioned as the only way to organize society. And the inevitable endpoint of that mentality and that way of thinking is, of course, that they just grow and grow and grow and become bigger than all countries, which has really serious implications for our, you know, what does that mean for democracy? Or, you know, what does that mean for who are they ultimately accountable to? What does it mean if you have a whole, you know, if we organize all of our society around profit-making entities, what does that really mean for people, for rights, for the climate? So, of course, I mean, that is definitely the way we're heading. And that's why, you know, that's why we're trying to raise awareness of the growth, but also to talk about what it means, why we should why you should be worried.
And so, yes, let's talk about the implications. Obviously, if you have corporations that rival the wealth of countries, for example, they can push pro-corporate trade treaties like the TPP, undermine the fight against climate change, etc. So what exactly is Global Justice Now calling on the United Nations to do about this? Because it seems as though one of the only places we can sort of appeal to on a global level is an entity like the United Nations.
So there is, I mean, this is the kind of exciting side of it, is there is a big, it's actually a global campaign that Global Justice Now has joined and is part of, and it's pushing for a new UN treaty that's a binding treaty on big corporations, on transnational corporations, to legally bind them to human rights, to international labour law, to international environmental standards, because, believe it or not, they've managed to so far ensure that every regulation and treaty that has so far been passed in international spaces has actually been voluntary. So they've been non-binding. So ultimately, a corporation doesn't have to abide by them. So there is now a push within the UN Human Rights Council for this new UN treaty on transnational corporations. There is, in a few weeks in Geneva, the second working group of this process, which is being led by Ecuador. The really exciting thing about this UN treaty, I know it can sound quite boring when you start talking about UN treaties, but the exciting thing is it's a move that's been led by the Global South, countries from the Global South, spearheaded by Ecuador, who are chairing the process actually at the moment. And the exciting thing is that, you know, the countries that feature at the top of this list, the ones who kind of very much protect corporate interests, countries like my own government in the UK, the USA and the EU countries, they all actually have tried to block this process, but they were actually, nonetheless, it was voted through, and there is this process that's been started to try and get this UN treaty to bind corporations. So it's, you know, chances are it'll be a very long process, but it's something that's really exciting because of the possibility of making something binding for transnational corporations that will really, for the first time, really, like, have a meaningful control over corporations, something that we just currently don't have, as this list shows. They're kind of out of control, and they're getting bigger and bigger, but there's no way to kind of hold them to account. And so this is one way that we can try and do that. And so, yeah, I would urge you to follow the process, see what happens in Geneva this October. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we've got high hopes at the moment. We've just brought out a petition this week demanding our government, so we've called on Theresa May, our new Prime Minister, to take seriously this process and to get involved, and once and for all to try and do something serious about corporate impunity and holding them to account for their actions.
Right. I mean, the only other entities that exist that are supposed to sort of police or regulate corporations are like the World Trade Organization or the International Monetary Fund, but it feels as though, especially if we go back into history, these entities were really influenced by corporations right from the start, and often have acted in corporate interests over national interests, over the interests of nation states that represent ordinary people. So there really doesn't seem to be. Do you feel that there's this sort of Wild West kind of uncharted territory that we are in right now on a transnational corporate level?
Absolutely. I mean, those institutions you mentioned, the WTO, the IMF, I mean, of course they exist. They completely dominated by this corporate mentality and to further corporate interest. There is definitely a sense that, you know, who holds these entities to account? You know, where exists in an international space? Can people take a corporation to court if they if they infringe on their human rights, if they, you know, we see it.
I mean, we have things like Spain's international criminal court, and, you know, certain countries can take corporations to court. They often manage to, squeeze out of it because, of course, the more money these corporations have, the better lawyers they can employ. It's rare, to see corporations ever having to pay fines. Rarer still to see people have to go to prison for crimes committed, right?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things this UN Treaty at the moment, this is what we're hoping to get from it, is that it will provide a platform that communities who are affected by corporations, you know, whether that's through, you know, extraction companies or through terrible labor standards or through, you know, that these communities and people can take corporations to court, and that they can do that in the, you know, that the corporations are accountable in the places where they operate. You know, what you have to remember is these companies operate transnationally, so they operate across borders, but a lot of, you know, most of our legislation and law still isn't really set up to deal with that. We're still dealing legislatively within national boundaries, and so corporations are able to kind of take advantage of that. I mean, you just need to look at, you know, tax avoidance and, you know, recent scandals. Definitely, you know, we had the kind of Panama Papers scandal earlier this year, which just shows the extent to which corporations can take advantage of borders and different legislations in different regions. And so, yeah, I think your description of a kind of a Wild West is quite a good one. It's someone needs to kind of lasso these corporations and bring them to account.
Yeah, I mean, we've got basically corporations that are able to do what they want and not be held accountable. The rest of us can't cross borders without the right papers, are bound by the laws of the countries that we live in, and often do pay the price. Aisha, what's a good place for online for people to get a hold of your report, not just the list of economic entities that shows how corporations are dominating globally, but also even the information about the UN treaty that you're pushing for?
So yeah, you can visit our website, which is www.globaljustice.org.uk, and you can find lots of information there. There's a tab with controlling corporations section that will give you lots of detail. We've also, like I said, we've done lots of campaigning around TTIP, which is, I think, one of the best examples of corporations trying to take over our democracy, I mean, through the corporate courts and et cetera, so that you can find lots of information about that as well, and all our other campaigns.
And TTIP being the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, one of the two major global treaties alongside the TPP that here in the US we've all been quite concerned about. The TTIP is specifically addressing the EU. Well, Aisha, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
My guest is Aisha Dodwell. She is a campaigner at Global Justice Now. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/RU with Sonali.